Blog Talk Radio.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus. us to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for another Thursday morning. We are headed into the weekend. And we thank God for bringing us through this week up until this present time. He's on our side in spite of us. And we're grateful unto him this morning because he's Almighty God. Oh, he's got all the power, and all power is on our side today. We just got to believe and stay focused because he said in his word, if we keep our mind on him, Almighty God, he will keep us in perfect peace. And I know this to be the truth because a lot is going on, but because he lives, because I can know him, because I can keep my mind on him, because I can pray through the day, you know, I can think about what the scripture says. I'm home. I'm in the house. So what I can do is listen to the word. You know, it may be in a movie. I may look at the full movie of Acts, the full movie of Paul, Matthew, the resurrection of Jesus, whatever. But it helps me to stay focused and to be reminded that he lives. He lives today. We don't serve a dead God. And there is nothing too hard for him to do. And many times he just wants us to stand still. Because if we can stand still, we'll see his salvation. Yeah. I tried to do some things and it come back to me, stop, just leave it alone, let it go. And then it reminded me of wait on the Lord, be of a good courage. And he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's nothing you can do until he comes. And we don't want to move before him or after him. We want to move while he's moving. Because if we move while he's moving, we're going to be blessed. I'm talking about beyond our wildest imagination. Yeah, because he's got the power, gave us power, gave us love and a sound mind. Yeah, we just need to stir up the gifts in us because we have the gift of love. Hey, the gift of power, the gift of a sound mind, because God gives gifts. Yeah, go over to the book of James, that first chapter. It's going to tell you. Yeah, he give good gifts. Hallelujah. And so we're grateful unto him this morning. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today is September the 9th, 2021. We're 9 months and 9 days into this new year. Y'all know we're still in the new year. Yeah, we never saw this day before. And we are grateful unto God. We appreciate him. We love him this morning. And we want to do what pleases him and the things he can accept. That's where we want our minds. And you know, many times God sent his word. And we so hyped up on what other people said. It's as if his word is not good enough for us. We can't stand on his word. You know, I got to go somewhere else and get something from somebody else. But if we could learn to just stand on his word and be of a good courage, be courageous, standing on his word, knowing this, he's got the last word. And he sent his son Jesus, which still is the word of God, because in the beginning, Jesus was the word. And God made the word flesh and allowed him to dwell among us. And so if we'll stand on his word and be assured in his word, you know, go to him and tell him, Lord, I don't want to be fidgety. I don't want to be anxious for nothing. I don't want to believe nobody else. I want to believe your word. Yeah, because he sent his word. See, he sent Jesus. And we got everything that we need, but many times because of what we want or even what we are expecting, it's like we get a little anxious. And the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Look, all things through prayer and supplication. Go back to him and make your request known unto God. Resist the devil now. He's going to flee. It don't mean he's not coming back. But every time he come back, we got to resist him. And move on in God and focus more on what pleases him, on what he wants. because we'll mess up many times, focus on what we want. And many times the thing that we want is not worth nothing. Do y'all hear me? It's just not worth nothing. It's going to bring heartache and pain more than it brings joy. But if we depend on that word and just love the word of God, love God, these two things going to bring you joy, peace, and happiness. But for some reason, the people of God, we need something else. It's just not enough. The word and him is just not enough for us. But I thank God this morning. He and his word is more than enough for me. When I tell you it's more than enough, it is that. Yeah, bills due. This is coming from this way, and that's coming from that way. But guess what? He sent his word. Hallelujah. I got him today, and I got his word. And I got his written word as well. And so when I remember what the, hey, glory, glory, glory. When I remember what his written word says, when I tell you it blessed my day, it do all kind of great things in my mind. And I can let things easily go. And some things I forgot about it. I wanted it, and I told the Lord about it, and now I forgot all about it. I wanted it. And when God bring it forth, I'm looking like, what? to myself, what? And then he'll remind me, you asked me for this. And I didn't bring it right away because it wouldn't work together for your good at that time. But this is the time that it will work. Here it is. Hallelujah. All I can do is say, thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I was really, really busy yesterday. My goodness. Up until late last night. But I thank God for the work. Y'all hear me? I thank God for his work. And Nikki came over and she wanted to have dinner. And I had cooking. My daughter-in-law come down from Savannah, heading back home to Simmons, her sister, cousin, and a friend of theirs. And I was able to go and meet with them. And Nikki had brought me a 7-Up pound cake. And I took that whole 7-Up pound to them. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Couldn't stay in here with me because I would have ate it. I'm talking about a wonderful cake. And I sent them on back, showed them the way to get on back to 95 from the Orange Park area. And then I come on home and finished up dinner. And yesterday around 11:30, I went on Zoom with my daughter. And I listened to this. As I'm Zooming with her, they taking all the tooth. Yesha. Hey, glory to his majesty. They taking all the tooth out of her. I was there for the whole procedure. Only thing she had left in her was the dialysis and the feeding tube. They say she no longer have COVID. So in a few days, we pressing on tomorrow. She'll be sitting up and talking. But I was opening up the show this morning, and I saw when I went into Zoom, she was sitting up in the bed with her eyes wide open, just looking. And I don't know if she was looking at the machines or reading something or whatever it was, but I saw her sitting up looking. And I said then, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God. Because Sister Jerry and I, we've been thanking the Lord for Friday. That she'll be sitting up and talking by Friday. And yesterday it showed me on Wednesday. God is faithful to his word. He is faithful. If he spoke it, it shall surely come to pass. And we just got to learn to love the word of God and believe the word of God because we believe in too much other stuff. Because we allowing our flesh to come in and talk to us. I'm not telling you what the Sunday school teacher told me. I'm not telling you what the preacher taught me. I'm telling you from experience that word works. But we got to stop being anxious. We got to learn to rest in Jesus and focus on his word. He sent his word, hallelujah, and sent it for us. That word works today, hallelujah, Jesus. The songwriter said this, and if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? But today I got his word. Hallelujah. And that word is working. Y'all better hear me this morning. The word of God is working. There's so much stuff out here and so many interpretations and so much this. And go to God about nothing but his word. He sent his word and it healed them. His word will heal you because it's the truth. It's living. It's a living word. It's not just, again today, it's not just black and white letters on some paper. It's not just some red letters on some paper. What Jesus said, it's a living word. And if we got his spirit living in us, and we allow his spirit to speak to us and to lead and guide us, his spirit will even give you an understanding of his word. But we're so busy wanting a quick fix. We're so busy wanting a microwave of a thing. Push, click, touch. Now, we need to learn to wait on God. I'm telling you the truth this morning. Because if not, with this stuff that's coming our way, it's going to be a mess. We're going to be in trouble because we haven't learned to depend just on his word and just him. Because what's coming, if we're not there, we'll miss it all. We'll be what they call left behind. You don't want to be in that. You want to go with that first batch. When that first trumpet sound, you want to get up. You want to be ready. When he look at you, he want to see his word in you. Hallelujah. But we got to get in the word to know it. And in some cases, I've seen people know one scripture, went all over the world and preached the gospel with one scripture. Because they held on to him, the Spirit of God, and his word. Hallelujah. They counted on nothing but the anointing moving. And they went on about their business, and God blessed many. But this is where we got to get. I see too much happening out here to the people of God. What in the world? How is this coming upon you? And you got the word. You got the spirit of God. You got God. You can pray. But are we praying amiss? What kind of prayers are we praying? Most time we're praying for stuff and things to happen. When we should be praying, the Lord, you give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. Because see, once you understand God's word, you're going to be able to get past foolishness. You're going to be able to make your calling and election sure. Because he is giving you an understanding of his word. And see, I stay in one place. I've been on Blog Talk 11 years doing Jesus in the Morning. There have been so many shows. Every blue moon I was able to go to someone else's show because I'm careful where I eat from. You see, there are only certain kind of preachers, certain kind of music I even play here. I don't get caught up with every wind and doctrine. I don't get caught up in every song because some songs, they sound like they forgot, but they're not. So we have to be careful. And some people got sick of me with that because of this. They wanted what the world was offering. I can't give it to you. I want to give you what God is offering, a sure thing, something that won't bring sorrow your way. It will bring joy, peace, and happiness. And that's what you want in your life. When you go to bed at night, you want to sleep. When you wake up in the morning, you want to feel refreshed. Do y'all know there's some a time I have to stay up to 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning? And then what I do is at 4 o'clock, I lay down. The alarm clock go off at 6. I get right up. Some mornings I feel a little groggy. I get right up, come in here and open up, begin to pray. All that leave me. Every bit of it leave me. Why? God is faithful. I come to obey him. I stayed up obeying him because there were some heavy cases. Yeah. And see, sometimes people, they don't want to tell you all of what's really happening with them because they're afraid you're going to judge them or condemn them or feel bad towards them. And they don't tell you that all of it, then they got to come back. And then they got to come back again. And then they got to come back again. But if you went on and told it all, God would have fixed it all. Yeah, because there's no need of you being ashamed of me and what I think about it. You need to be ashamed and be concerned about what God think about it. I didn't make the heavens and the earth. I didn't make you for my pleasure. He made you for his. Yeah, and so he'll send somebody. He'll put somebody in place that you can come and talk to. Sometimes get advice from. But the main thing, we don't want the person advice. We want the word of God. Now, if God is speaking through them, that's what we want to hear. And we want to pray and ask God to show us how to activate the power that he gave us. Lord, show me how to love. And let me operate in the sound mind that you have given me. Because this is what I need from you. Because, see, he called us to a work, but we caught up into us. And we caught up into what people going to say about the work. Look, I haven't taken any classes other than Bible study. You know, I went to Bible study at my church and stuff like that. But I never took no classes. And I got to be honest with you. I got stacks of books here. Stacks of them. The Lord never sent me to a book. Yeah, not for that, not for teaching. The book he sent me to was them 66. And I allow him to explain his word. I didn't write it. He wrote it. He inspired man to write it. He knew what his interpretation, he knew what he was saying. And I'm telling you today, I see too much. I see Christian men going through. I see Christian women going through, the believers, going through in marriage, in courtship. See, I don't court. I never would have courted it. Either it is or it's not. I don't have no time to waste on you with all of that. I done ate out plenty of times. I know what it is to go to a 5-star restaurant or with my evening down on. I know what it is to go to lunch, you know, at a nice restaurant. I know what it is to even go out for breakfast at a decent restaurant where they're cooking from scratch. So all the hanging out and all of that, I'm going to get to know you by this. That spirit in you is going to agree with the spirit in me. And if it don't, we're not wasting time. Bye, 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 bye. But if that spirit in you agree with the spirit in me, and every time I talk to you and every time I see you, that spirit is agreeing, it's not going to take me 6 months, a year, 3 months, 2 months. It's not going to take me forever. But I got to wait for God to send it. And guess what? Because I've been in the word and because I've been communing and fellowshipping with him, it won't take me long. I will know this is the one that God has given me to. But we don't do that. We look at the world standards. We look at what we feel and what we want, and we jump the broom, as they call it. Really, jump the broom. Yeah. But we got to really let God abide in our lives. Let him be the God of our life. Give him the first fruit of everything. Focus on him. And let me tell you, do you know that is a protection for you? It will protect you from foolishness. It will protect you from wasting time because we want God to number our days. I don't want to just waste my days on foolishness. Yeah. I don't want to waste my time. And I brought R.C. Blakes back this morning because he's got to talk about some things to the believers. And even the men and women, because if a man is doing these things and he don't know he's doing them, when he hear this, it should help him to straighten up and fly right. But we have so much, and we say we believers. What you believe in? Because truly, you're not truly believing the word of God, because you're doing everything but believing his word. It shows. We got to get there. The songwriter said, I've had some ooh, hard days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. But when I look around and think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. Yeah. Because we're looking to the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking unto Almighty God, who so loved the world. He sent his only begotten son, that if we believe on him, we won't perish, but have everlasting life. We're depending on the same God that hangs the sun in the sky daily, in the moon at night, keeping the water back from the land, keeping us safe even in this country. We're not at war on American soil. We look into that God, the God who has blessed us for years and years and years. America is a powerful place. But the enemy is coming more and more, and the leadership is losing. And the reason I say the leadership is losing, they're not coming together and bringing the people together, bringing the preachers together, the church together, everybody together. The gay people together. And say this. This is what God said. No, that's not what's happening. They're talking about what they're saying. And people want what they want. They want the leadership to give them what they want. But to have what we want, we have to go to God. If you want good, now, not everybody wants good, because evil is always present. But if you want your neighbor blessed like you blessed, if you want other people's children blessed like you want your children blessed, you want other women husbands and other men wives to be blessed like you want yours. We coming together on one accord, but we're so divided. I'm going this way, you going that way, somebody going backwards, somebody going to the side, somebody going ahead of us. It won't work. But if we'll go to God for real, praying for leadership, not what we want other than God's word to come forth through leadership. We want God to save and sanctify, set the leadership aside unto himself, and fill our leadership with his spirit. And our leadership is not afraid to get up and say, God said, I heard from God. And anybody who don't like what God said in the country that he is constantly blessing, I got a ticket for you. You can go anywhere else where you cannot serve God and not hear what he said. But in this country, we're going to hear what God got to say, because we want him to heal the land. We want him to hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal the land. That's what we want. And in order to have it, we got to do what he said. We got to humble ourselves and pray, seek his face. Turn from our wicked ways. And until we can do this, it's not going to get any better. The leadership can't come out and say what God said. They haven't heard from him. They heard from each other. There shouldn't be Democrat and Republican. There should be one party, and everybody's following God. And we love one another, and we come to what we call in a contract a meeting of the mind. We come to an agreement. And we go from there. But it's going to start with the people. I read the scripture. Two or three gathered in his name, as touching and agreeing, he'll be in the midst. And look, people are switching. Ooh, Lord, help us all. They switching the word around. They taking on man interpretation of what God has said. Now, God sent his word to heal us if we allow him to. Stay with his word, but they want to be updated. They want to be more modernized. I don't care what you want to be, don't change God's word. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. That's what he said. You can't hold it against me now. I wasn't there when he inspired man to write it, but I do believe it. And I will share it. Yeah. So this is what we got to get. I want to read this scripture this morning, Anna, for the believing men and the believing women, the people of God. Because, see, when we leave the word, we're messing our lives up because now we don't have nothing to guide us by. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us, but it's going to do it according to the word of God. It's going to do it according to what he said for us. And if we're not willing to follow the word of God and obey it, the Spirit can speak it, but you're going to miss it because you're not willing to obey. The eyes of the Lord is in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good. He sleep now slumbers. He know even the very intent of our hearts. He gave you a spirit so you could use it. He gave you his spirit so you could activate it in you. But you want everything else. I believe it was Philip. Stevens was telling them Pharisees and Sadducees, he called you vipers, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. You want everything but what he's given us. Because we want what we want. Let go and let God have his way in your life. Look at his word and see what he said. I look back at Jeremiah. Look back at Joel. I even look back at Samuel. Even his children, his sons couldn't get it right. Eli, the priest, his sons, they just couldn't do it. But we got to do it if we want to go back with him when he comes. I truly believe this thing is coming down to the wire now. I'm 64. I've never saw stuff like this in my 64 years. So imagine if he allowed me to live another 20. Even another 6 years, I'll be 70. Imagine if he allowed me to live that what I'm going to get to see. Because the world is getting wickeder and wiser. Folk hate the truth. Even church folks hate the truth. Because the truth, many times it hurt. But we got to learn to accept the truth and allow the truth to make us free because we accepted it. Yeah. I've heard people say something, well, you know, I got this and that. Oh, no, sir, Brother Mike, we haven't seen it yet. This is just a tad bit in the bucket, as we call it. I'm from the country. This is just a tad. This is just a little bit, just a sample. And if this is a sample, oh, my goodness. But this morning, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want married folks. I want folks who want to be married. I want folks who in a relationship working to get married. I need you to hear this morning and ponder these things in your heart and go to God in prayer. Because in this hour, I'm seeing too many who just can't be alone. That look, it's like they'd rather take being treated like a dog than to be by themselves. Being by myself is a good thing for me. It's not for everybody. Being by himself was a good thing for Apostle Paul. It's not for everybody. But I wanted to read this and see if this would help us. In chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for time that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. In other words, he's speaking this from him basically, and not from God. This is not what God is saying. This is what he's saying. And what he's saying here, when he first started off, he said it is good for a man not to touch a woman. See, because what happened is that's flesh. That's not the spirit. That's flesh. Spirit don't come like that. And the spirit will bring you back to the word of God. And the word of God will inspire you, excite you, and encourage you in a whole totally different way that is not pleasing to your flesh. Oh, but it is pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man have his proper gift of God." See, some, God didn't give them the spirit of abstinence, I guess you would call it, or stand by themselves. Some men, God gave that to. And when I say men, it's a generic term, men and women. Some God didn't give that to. Because some got to have a wife. Some got to bear children. Some have to lead his family. God put marriage together. He honors marriage. But this is Apostle Paul talking, because I'm sure he saw a bunch of stuff going on. "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and one after that. So we got different things going on. Some men just like to be in the presence of a woman. He's not going to marry nobody. He's not going to say, I got a girlfriend. He just like being in the presence of women. But he, in the word of God, God in the word is more of a wife to him than any natural woman could ever be. When I look back at the eunuch, even that Ethiopian eunuch, they told me that these men had been what they call castrated. That's what they do to pigs and things. And they was of a bigger stature. And they didn't desire women like a man who had not gone through that procedure desire women. So you had different ones in different situations. Verse 8 says, "I say therefore unto the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." What he said, if they could stay to themselves, pray and seek the word, seek God, go out and do the work of God, but if they cannot contain, he's saying in verse 9, let them marry. For it's better to marry than to burn. In verse 10, it says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord." Now, this to the married folks. This God commandment here now. "Let not the wife depart from her husband." 11 says, "But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife." 12 says, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away." 13 says, "And a woman which has a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him." 14 says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean. How now are they holy?" 15 says, "But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to a peace." But many times when we divorce or separate, we at odds with the other person because we haven't forgiven them for what they did that caused the divorce, especially to the one who wanted to stay married. Yeah. We can't even be civil with one another. But I believe for the sake of God, if we find ourselves in a relationship and it's not godly, I think we should talk to one another. Because see, you I don't think you would marry an ungodly man because you'd be unequally yoked. You wouldn't marry an ungodly woman because you would be unequally yoked. And you got to make your calling and election sure that spirit in them must agree with the spirit in you. And you can't let your flesh come in there because that flesh going to tell you some stuff. And yet you're going to be confused. And we know God is not the author of confusion. So what we have to do is have to take time. Don't be anxious. Don't be in a rush. And if you know a man does not love his mother, he don't love his sisters, he don't love his nieces, he don't love his aunts, his women cousins, female cousins. And he can't love you. But a man that loves his mother, take good care of her. Hey, do not fool around with my sister because I will visit over there. My nieces, all of these women are going to be shown respect because they're the weaker vessel. And if we see a woman that's out of place, I know she's not saved. I can't make her a saved woman. I can't treat her like a saved woman because she don't understand. There's a difference in saved and unsaved. This is why the word of God is so important, and pray for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge from him, not from the preacher and the folk putting the stuff out here now. Because you're going to be messed up. Well, I don't understand. You got to pray for understanding. You got to pray for wisdom. Look at James. If any man like wisdom, let him ask of God that give liberally and upbraideth not. But you got to ask in believing God and sincerely from your heart wanting it. Like you want your wife, like you want that husband. You got to want that knowledge just like that or better. Or more, I should say. You got to want the understanding of God's word more than anything you wanted in your life. Because this is what you're living by day to day. Don't you know how important this is? It's important to have a great understanding, wisdom of his word so I can walk up right before him daily. We know not a day, not an hour when he's returning. We know that he's coming back and he's looking for his church without spot or wrinkle. But we get caught up into the system of the world. We get caught up into the system of the church. We get caught up into the system of these jack-legged preachers and all these folk. But God is our refuge. He's our source. He should be our all in all. But you got to get in his word. You got to focus. You got to go to him. You got to fellowship and commune with him. Talking to him about his words. See, we go to him talking about, Lord, I can't pay my bills. Lord, I need a car. Lord, I want a house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Lord, I need you to do this on the job for me, God. I want this. We don't go to him about that word. If we do, it's short-lived. It's quickly and forgotten until the next time. We got to stay there. Stay asking God for understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of his word. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of his word. Lord, we want knowledge of your word. And God, we want the spirit of obedience to obey what your word says. Man ought to always pray and not faint. Pray without ceasing. That's what he said. Yet look what he gave us. My prayer to him was, Lord, if you give me a husband, let it be for this. I can't tell you what to do. I'm simply asking. Let us come together as one unto you. And let the both of us not obey our flesh, but obey you. And because we obeyed you, you give us the comfort of one another. I have somebody to talk to. I have somebody to cook me big meals for. I have somebody to bake for. I have somebody to do laundry for. I have this and I have that. I have a prayer partner. I have a best friend. You see? I have someone that if If he do anything wrong, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt it was a mistake. He did not do it on purpose because the love he had for Almighty God, he would never do God like that. He will come to me and tell me the truth about the whole thing and then says, can you forgive me? And when I say, yes, I can forgive you, the next thing, will you pray with me and for me? And can we go together to God on this situation that I made a mistake? Same thing with me. If I messed up and I would have to go to him and apologize and repent to him and ask him, can you forgive me? And if he says yes, well, can you pray with me and for me and we both take this to God? And if I'm in the home and I done got beside myself, he put the word to me. And I don't come with another scripture to battle that scripture. I consider the word that he gave me. He gave me whatever scripture it was. I'm thinking on that right now. And allowing the spirit of God to move in me to tell me if this is game or this is true. He really believed this is what I shouldn't have done or what I should do. We're not fighting. We're allowing the word of God to do the work. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart a brother or a sister. Is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. I'm not going to depart angry with him and keep it going. I forgive him and I'm moving on, if that be the case. If we got to depart. 16 says, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? We say we want them saved. Lord, bless my husband. God, bless my wife. Lord, move this. Do we really mean this? 17 said, but as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. This is what Apostle Paul is saying. And here we go. And now this for me was this. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Now, you know, once they're circumcised, so this is spiritual. This is not just the natural here. Because once they circumcise them, they can't undo it. But this is what he's saying in the spirit. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be uncircumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Don't move yourself. Don't be out with the foolishness. So some men go crazy, some women go crazy. Oh, he's leaving me. Oh, he want a divorce. Oh, this and that. Blah, 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 blah. We have the Spirit of God living in us. And we should walk accordingly. He circumcised our heart. Don't let's not undo it. But he said it's nothing. Whether we keep circumcised or uncircumcised is nothing. But the keeping of the commandments of God, it is. Y'all remember the loving with all your heart. You remember that. Love your neighbor. You remember all of that. This is our focus, the word of God. And what he said concerning us. Because those 10 commandments, they still in effect today. He just broke the 10 down into 2. And if we do the 2, we've done the 10. He made things so much easier for us. I don't have to put no bull on the altar, or doves and pigeons or what, a sheep. I don't have to sacrifice that. He sent the ultimate sacrifice for us. He made it easier. He let his son did all the suffering. The hanging, the bleeding, the dying. Rising again with all power. He did all of that for us. so that we can focus on his word and focus in obedience unto his word. But it appears we can't get there. But the devil is a fool and a liar. And he'll make a fool and a liar out of us if we're not careful. So let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Watch out here. Be not ye the servants of men. Yeah. Because see, sometimes the preacher tell, oh, you need to leave him. Oh, you need to leave her. I'm guilty of it myself. People have told me how bad they, I'm like, honey, get out of there. But look what he said. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. That's where discernment come in there. That's where you let the Spirit of God lead and guide you. It's all right to go to people that you know got God in them. But you let the discernment of the Spirit of God move in you so you'll know what to do so you won't be uncircumcised spiritually. But that you'll remember what his word said, them commandments. You'll remember his statutes. You'll remember his rules and regulations. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. And now he going on to talk about virgins. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandments of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that have obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Now this is what he said. See, because some of them going to leave a wife because they want somebody else. Some of them have to leave because it just don't work. It's unequally yoked from the beginning. They got to leave. But I can't leave my husband to go get another husband. A man can't leave his wife to go get another wife. That can't be the reasoning. Fornication, death, adultery, yeah. Well, adultery and death, yeah. You just can't wake up one day and see Sally Jane on the job and how fine she is and everything, and now you want to get with Sally Jane and leave what God already gave you. You can't do that. You won't respect it. And he certainly won't bless it. You'll have more problems than you had with the wife that he gave you. Ah, hallelujah. We're moving a little further, and we got 1 minute. I'm going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with R.C. Blake this morning. Woo, what a bad doctor. This doctor break that thing down so that a fool can understand it. And I know God is using this man. It's the only way he could do it. And if people would listen, men and women, when he say this is for a woman, a man go listen to it, because men is going to bless you too. Women, it will bless you, because a lot of believing women are in trouble today. Yeah, they are in trouble. They are going through. And I'm not talking about just going through, but some are going through in a really rough way. There are women who have, before they fully came to the Lord or truly came to him, they were in relationships that they stayed in there and stayed in there because they were so hopeful that the man was going to change. No, ma'am, it was not yoked up. It wasn't equal from the beginning. It cannot be equal in the end. If God put it together, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. But if God did not put it together, it will not remain. He have to put this thing together. And some people do it because, well, I'm going to marry because I don't want to burn. Now, don't marry because you don't want to burn. Marry because this is the one God sent. Marriage is ministry. Marriage is a union. Marriage is matrimony. It's something special. And God has smiled on me to give me a husband. God has smiled on me to give me a wife. And I want to make sure what's in them is in me. And sometimes God got to break us down in the marriage because we're not complete. But before we get married, we should wait until God heal us. Especially we know we done went through some things in outside relationships. Before I come to God, I was with somebody and they messed me up. Or I messed myself up because I put them in before God, family, and everybody else. He's not going to have another God before him. Not in you said you love him, and not in you said he's yours and you're his. No, you can't do that like that. You have more problems than you know what to do with. But this morning, I just wanted to share that. And hopefully you'll focus on that and go to God with a true and ask for a true understanding. But for me, it's plain and simple. It's black and white for me. It's plain and simple. But it may not be that for everybody. So you got to pray your way through. Pray your way into understanding the word. God will give it to you. But you, especially you showing him, Lord, I just want an understanding of your word, and I want you. And I don't just want you for what you can give to me or what you can do for me. I want you because I want you. I appreciate you, and I need you, and I can't be a worker in the vineyard, but I need you to teach me. Man has taught me so much and messed me up, and I done been skipped the dude riding around everywhere. I've been over here in eight. I've been over there in eight. I've been back there in eight. I've been under there in eight. You can't just eat at every table. You got to stand still and know that he is God. And when we do that, he's coming and bless. But we got some of everybody's stuff never going on with us. Yeah, I can't do it. I don't follow TV evangelists like that. I don't follow T.D. Jake and Clef Lowe and Joyce Myers and all these people. Most times you hear me bring the underdog. You don't hear me bringing these folks. I got to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm not saying they're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying their ministry is not of God. That's not what I'm saying. But God don't lead me there. There's a preacher here in this town. I think they call it him Bishop now. His name is Von McLaughlin. He's over the Potter's House here. When he had Word of Faith Church, I think it was called. It was a small church. And he was over here off Seaboard Avenue in Jacksonville, you know, close to Orange Park. And I was in trouble. I had warrants. Yeah, anybody know what a warrant is? The police looking for you? I had warrants and I was scared. I went, our church, which was Household of Faith, Lewis Williams was the pastor. We went over there, the Word of Faith. And that Von McLaughlin, God used that man to bring not no land oil and oiling you down and sliding you on the floor, none of that. He brought the straight up flat word of God. And that word set me free. Do somebody hear what I'm telling you? The word set me free. I went and answered to the warrants and was nothing to it. The word did it for me. We got to have the word of God. And then you got to have somebody with some wisdom. This man, R.C. Blake, I don't really know him, but I know his work. Word to heal. So I believe when he used R.C. Blake, when he used this man's mouth, he's sending his word to heal those that need healing of this thing. You've been in a relationship. You done got messed up two relationships before you got married. Sometimes we've been married four times. I know some people been married four times. And I think somebody told me they only allow you, what, seven times in America to be married. Some people have gone through some marriages because they believe that was what God would require. to be married. I'm not living with nobody. Uh-uh. I'm going to be Mrs. Whoever you, whatever your last name is, Mr. Hickenbockham. I'm going to be that. I'm going to be the one that the world recognizes. You can have a side chick. That's up to you. But I'm going to be the one, because I'm not just being over here. I'm getting all the benefits of a wife. You die, I'm getting your Social Security. You ain't got to worry about that. But it messed him up. Men done got a relationship with women. He wasn't that kind of man. But because she been with that kind of man, she treated him so crazy. Now he messed up and he get in a relationship and messed that up. Nobody went to God. But we said we believers. Nobody went to God for full healing and had the patience to wait on him. I've had people to tell me, hey, well, the best way to get over one, get another one. Nope. Don't let the devil trick you like that. He's a fool and a liar. And he'll make a fool and a liar out of you, but you got to allow him to do it. And the best way to get over this one to get another one. The best way to get over it and to move on, moving on in Jesus, is to go to God and ask for healing. Believe what his words say. Stay in his word. He sent his word to heal us. Jesus is still the word. In the beginning, he was the word. And God blessed us that he sent him and he dwelt among men. But he is still the word today. And James told her, if any man like women, like knowledge, like wisdom, any man, he told me the generic term, man or woman, if you're lacking knowledge in God, if you're lacking knowledge of my word, wisdom of my word, ask me. I'll give liberally and won't upbraid it. I won't even laugh at you for coming to ask me. I won't even think you're so stupid and ignorant, because I see you as wise, because you're coming to the all-wise God to get all-wise and wisdom, knowledge from me. But we got to get there. And if ever there was a time to get there, now, I've never seen so many messed up relationship people. I've never seen so many needy people. The world call it thirsty. I just never seen so many needy people. Somebody told me, one of the cousins, oh, you took after your mama. My mother was a good wife to my father, and my father was a good husband to my mother. These people were no hell raisers, and we never saw them say a hard word to one another. I never heard him threaten her. She threatened him. I saw these people work together in love. Now, what I did when I left there from under they roof, that's my business. I got my punishment. But the scripture taught them to train up a child in the way he should go. When he get old, he won't depart from, don't you see where I am? They trained me in that word. So this one, we got to go back to the word of God. And we got to learn to love the truth. And I know in many cases the truth hurt, but we yet got to learn to love it, because it's the truth that will set us free. And I know some people met, well, she bring him every week. Yeah, because God sent his word to heal us. That's what I'm going to say about R.C. Blake. God sent his word to heal us. He was asking something about some money. He was talking about it. And his wife was in the other room. And he said, well, what is it, Lisa? She said, money. I loved it. I said, look at this. And she didn't say no more. He asked her one question. She didn't take over the conversation. She answered his question with one word and went on about her business. Beautiful. Yeah, they're a beautiful couple, too. Uh-huh. But God sent his word to heal us. And we're grateful unto him for it. But if we don't use it, it's like he did nothing. Because we're not using the tools that he gave us. He gave me the tool to believe. And I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I believe if we out somewhere and you get hurt and a portion of your brain sticking out, I believe I can hold you in the right position until the paramedics get there, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, I might not would have known how to do that, and I may not know then, but I got to rely on God and his word to see me through. Now, that's natural that your brain, is a piece of it is hanging out your head. That's physical. I'm looking at that. But spiritually, I know that God can give me the position to hold you until the paramedics get there. Not only that, God can heal you. You'll come back like nothing ever happened to you. But we got to focus. We got to keep our mind on him the best we can. Look at Louis talking about, ouch, dang. It wasn't you, Louis, with your brain hanging out. It wasn't you. Yeah. So listen, we going in to take a list. Well, I got one more request. I got to play this request because I promised it. And right after this request, we're coming right back with Dr. Bishop Pastor R.C. Blake. Hey, Marquez, I know you love him. I know you love him. And just listen real good, Marquez, and we going to be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessings, glory and honor, it all. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to praise him. So we're going in with Bishop R.C. Blakes, and the message this morning is a demonic game a narcissist plays. A demonic game a narcissist played. And so let's take a listen this morning. Pay attention, pay attention.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing well. I wish there were a way that you could invite people to come into this, but maybe one of these days. I have something I want to share with you. A few things I want to say to you before we get started. I'd love for you to go to my website at rcblakes.com. I'll say these things while a few people come in with us. Go to my website at rcblakes.com and sign up for my mailing list. I'm moving towards 20,000 on my mailing list, but that's not enough. That's not even 10% of my following on YouTube. I need you all on my mailing list. Second thing I want to say is that I'm going to put a link in the description for those of you that might need counseling. I get a lot of email about counseling, and there's a sponsor that I've come into partnership with called BetterHelp that they are an online counseling agency, and they can do it over the phone. So I'm going to put a link in there, and if you use the link, it'll get you, I think, 10% off of whatever the cost is, and it's supposed to be very affordable for most people. Also, don't forget to sign up for my Queenology Cyber Conference that's happening on July the 25th and the 26th, maybe the 24th, 25th, but it's cyber, and the cost of it is $39. It's going to be 2 days, a Saturday and a Sunday, about 3 hours or more of content each day. I'm going to facilitate the whole thing. And since I can't go and appear physically, we're doing it in a cyber fashion. So I'm inviting the world to be a part of this. And I've not talked about it because I was, you know, hammering out the content. And we're talking about all kinds of stuff. This is the next conversation. We're calling it Queenology 2.0, the training for reigning. I want you to go to rcblakes.com, look under live events, and I want you to register for that cyber conference now. You know, it's on a cyber platform, so it can only accommodate so many people. I don't know how many people that is yet, but you know, when we've maxed out, we've maxed out. It's not like you know. So I want you there, and I want people from all around the world there. That's why we put it at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time in the States, so that, you know, those over in the UK can access it at a decent hour. I think it'll be around 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening there. Those over in Africa, someone even out of Australia is registered. They're going to be up at some ridiculous hour in the morning, but they want to be a part of it. And I haven't talked about it a lot, but I want you to go and do that. This is important to me. Also, my book, Kingology, is available on Amazon. Very soon we'll be doing a cyber conference for Kingology as well, for your sons, your nephews, your boyfriends, those that want to hear that message. But tonight, just briefly, this was something, I'll tell you what motivated this session tonight. Hello. Thank you all for coming in. I apologize to those of you that get distracted when I speak to people, but it's just my nature. And I don't really mean to, distract you, but it's really just my nature. And I pray that you can accept me for who I am. You know, I really do. I pray that you can accept me for who I am. But I had a call today, and I, of course, won't mention any names, but it was from a beautiful, beautiful young sister, beautiful young lady that could be my daughter. In fact, she calls me her uncle. And she was telling me, she was talking to me, and she was talking to me about a situation that she's going through with a narcissistic partner. And she's talking about the games that this individual, this guy, is playing, the psychological gymnastics. And I was listening to her, and I said, wow, I have to just kind of address this. And so this is not even developed as a lesson per se, but it just came out of the impact that that conversation had on me, because I had never, when she said what she said to me relative to what he did to her, I never had an idea of ever running that kind of game. And I never thought it possible for a person to do such a thing. And it took me back. You know, it really took me back. The extent to which a person may go to break you. Is my signal good? Is my signal good? Before I continue, I don't want to continue. My signal is bad. Somebody talk to me. Is my signal good? Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you. The extent to which a person may go to break you is blowing my mind. I mean, back in the day when I was the guy that I always tell you about, you know, the guy that I was, I mean, I lied and I, you know, but to hear what I heard today and keeping confidence, but giving you an idea of what this was. Okay, I'll save this for you until when I get to a certain point. But if you look in, I want to talk about a particular demonic strategy that narcissists use on a person. I call it the blame game. I call it the blame game. And it's where a narcissist makes you responsible for the mess they created. And they are so prolific at blaming, which, you know, I've always said that this narcissist thing is demonic. I've always said that. And many of my mental health expert friends, you know, they conclude I must be onto something, because they really haven't found an answer as to what this really is. You know, they say, well, it's created in parenting, and I can see that. You know, either child was deprived and had to focus on him or herself as a child because the parent wasn't there to nurture them and to protect them, and so this evolved into some warped personality, or the child was overly loved and made to feel like everything just centered around him or her and grew up. And I get all of that. But at the end of the day, it's demonic. You know, it's just not natural. It's not natural for a person to possess the characteristics of a narcissist, a malignant narcissist. I just don't think it's in the human DNA to go to that extent, you know, without feeling anything. I think to some extent this has to be demonic. And again, I'm no mental health expert. I'm no counselor. I'm no therapist. That's why I refer you to people. I'm a pastor. I'm a man, and I'm just observing life, and I'm learning, and I'm sharing with you as I go. So I'm learning something, and I'm sharing it with you. This is raw, because I just had this conversation today. And it took me back. Now, I'll tell you what it was in a minute. But if you look in John chapter, well, let me give you the first point. Here's the first point relative to this blame game strategy. The narcissist will reverse a situation and accuse you of the wrongdoing, when they clearly did all of the wrongdoing, they will reverse it and accuse you of the wrongdoing, and they are so good at it that they make you doubt your own innocence. And some of you have been there, where you had, when you've been in this relationship, where you're under this spell, and this individual, this woman, or this man turned this thing around on you, and before you knew it, you were grasping for straws because you were beginning to doubt yourself. They reverse a situation. Thank you, Coach Rod. Please, Pastor Blake's the coolest pastor online. I look up to you and learn from you. Keep up the Lord's work. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I love being called a cool pastor. But they reverse it. Okay, now let me give you the story. This particular dear heart, in a situationship with a man, and no names, no part of the country, none of this. The man comes back and he contracts something, STD. And he says to her, well, you know, if this is what I think it is, we over. And so she's like, well, what do you mean if this is, because I can't believe you did this to me. Sherlanda, thank you so much. Now this poor heart, this poor dear heart, no, she has not gone out on this man sexually. And he has clearly done some things that he shouldn't have done. And she said he hid her from her blind side because he's talking to her like he's actually serious that somehow she did this to him. When the reality was he knew that he had stepped out on her and it caught up with him, but rather than having to explain how he stepped out on her, he reversed the situation and immediately accused her. And she was describing to me how this thing threw her into an emotional crisis where, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to do in a relationship, and then somebody comes up and they says, well, you know, I think I may have something, and I can't believe you did this to me. And you're like, I did what to you? I can't believe you stepped out on me, and I can't believe you brought this back to me. Oh, my goodness. It is demonic. So they reverse the situation to accuse you. And see, some of you are dealing with that right now. Some of you are dealing with that right now. You have somebody in your life that has done nothing but dirt, and they have an art. They have a gift of twisting that thing around, reversing that thing, and accusing you, and they're so good at it that you almost begin to scratch your head. This poor child said, she started wondering, what happened? Something happened and I didn't know it? You know, just all over the place. It's demonic. And the Bible says in Revelation 12 and 10, says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser, talking about Lucifer, Satan, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. One of the main characteristics of the demonic is accusation. And one of the ways the narcissist ties your mind up, Eif-Hiari, I think I pronounced it right, thank you. One of the ways the narcissist ties your mind up, Tia Joy, thank you so much, I'm grateful for you, is they bring to bear vehement accusation. As they accuse you as though they have evidence, and they accuse you with a certain emotion behind it that you believe it. You begin to believe. You begin to question yourself. You know, did I do something I didn't know? This poor baby says she didn't know what was going on. It just seemed like it was so serious, you know. But we see that the spirit of accusation is at the center of the demonic. Now, let me show you another situation in the Bible. In John chapter 8, verses 3 through 9, it says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest you? What do you say about it, Jesus? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. But here's the thing I want you to see. They say that she was caught in adultery, taken in adultery in the very act, meaning they caught her having sex with a man. But yet the woman is the only one there being accused. The man has disappeared. They caught in the act. Both of them are breaking the law, but the woman is the only one that's being accused. That is indirectly a visual of how narcissistic abuse functions. While the narcissist hides, the narcissist takes his or her victim and puts them on stage and puts them and their faults, failures under spotlight. While the narcissist hides. Micah, God bless you. You have changed my life. I listen to you every day. The knowledge you share has truly been a blessing. Much love, Pastor. Thank you so much. That, again, means the world to me. So they reverse the situation to accuse you. That's how that blame game starts. They know they're wrong, but they'll accuse you. You know, they hit you upside your head, and then you hit them back. I can't believe I'm calling the police. I can't believe you put your hands on me. But wait a minute. I'm defending myself. I can't believe it. I can't believe you did that. And they are so emotional. They are so adamant that they make you step outside of your own sanity, the realm of reality, and they make you question yourself. Did I hit first? Number two. Watch this. After they accuse you and they drum up all of this stuff, they create all of this drama around this situation, the next move they'll make is they will ghost you. They'll reverse the situation to accuse you while they blame you. And they'll make this big old thing out of it, like you were wrong, you're questioning yourself. Cherry Boo, 65, thank you. My ex-husband, a diagnosed narcissist, turned almost all of my friends against me with things he did, but I did them, but said I did them. Even his female psychiatrist banned him from her office. Wow, that's serious right there. Thank you so much. So number two, they'll ghost you after they accuse you. So they'll accuse you. Letter A. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Blakes. I came upon your page after searching for help and a word from God. You have helped me. I'm recovering from narcissistic abuse. Was in an abusive, toxic relationship. Thank you. I'm so glad that something was said that helped you. But secondly, they ghost you after the accusation. See, what they do in the accusation part is they elevate this thing. They create such a dramatic scene and they create such emotion in you that, you know, your heart is racing. You're trying to figure out what's really going on. You know, is there a misunderstanding? And then once they get you to that place where they know they've gotten you emotional, then they will drop off of the scene. You won't be able to contact them. They won't answer your calls. They won't respond to DMs. They won't, you know, they'll just go, they may block you on social media. Like they are actually offended by what you did, when you really didn't do anything, but now this ghosting on top of the accusation. Cherry Boo, you back again. I apologize. I was so upset I typed in psychiatrist wrong. Girl, nobody noticed that. Ain't nobody noticed that. Thank you again. They bring you up to a place emotionally where they're accusing you, and then once they got you there, then they pull away from you. And what is the purpose of that? That is to allow you to marinate in the confusion. That is to allow you to and see, some of you are right there now where this person has accused you of things that are so far beneath your character, you can't believe that they even imagine you to be this kind of person. And so you're caught up in the disbelief. And so now your biggest thing in your mind, you're not thinking about this is a narcissist. You're thinking about, I got to make this right. And then they disappear. They ghost you. Iron Mike, my stepfather is everything you've described thus far. I just gave up on that situation and distanced myself. Now I have a peace that I've never known before. And sometimes that's necessary to be able to know when to walk away from a situation. You cannot save every situation. Some people, you got to love them on their level. And sometimes that means at a far, far distance. But now let's look at this number two. They ghost you after the accusation. You see, the abandonment, when they ghost you after accusing you of things that are just horrific, the abandonment, now listen to this statement very carefully. The abandonment is to make you believe that they must really be hurt and I must have done something. And the curse in that situation is wanting desperately to prove your innocence. That's the curse. You want desperately to prove your innocence. They already know you're innocent. This is all a concoction. And so they accuse you, they create this dramatic situation, then they ghost you, leaving you at that place where you need the closure of being able to communicate your truth, but they won't give it to you. They won't give you the opportunity to address the issue. They don't want you to address the issue. They want you to marinate in the confusion. They want these lies to soak through your soul. Because what happens while they have pulled away from you and they're now ghosting you and they've abandoned you in this situation, What's being reinforced in your mind, in your soul, in your subconscious, maybe even in your conscious mind? You're devaluing yourself because now you're questioning yourself. That's a devaluation. For you to question yourself, if you know that you've been faithful to a person and they put you in a position where they say to you like they really believe it, you went out on me and you brought something home to me, and now they've ghosted you. And so now you're left there with these thoughts in your mind. It's like it's intended to drive you nuts. Veretta, thank you. Your teachings always be right on time. A hard battle to fight when you have kids with the enemy. But I'm taking what I'm learning from you to work through this fight. Check out this video I have on here about co-parenting with a narcissist. I might get some value out of it. But while they're ghosting you, you're devaluing yourself. it's also intended to make you squirm. They want you to squirm. They want to consume your conscious mind 24/7. That's the purpose of ghosting you. It's not that they're through with you. It's that they want to just break you some more. And they want your opinion of yourself to be shrunken, if that's the right way to say it. The Weaver talks. Thank you so much. They want your opinion to be diminished. And they want you to squirm. They want to be at the front of your mind. They want to make you emotionally and psychologically sick, thinking about them. And in some sick way, trying to figure out how you're going to redeem yourself with them. Isn't that interesting? They did everything to you, but they want to leave you in a position where you're trying to figure out how am I going to redeem myself? How am I going to reconcile? And then what happens is while they're ghosting you, they will share, they won't communicate with you. But what they will do is they will share their version, that lie that they sold to you. They will share that with your mutual community, your friends, family, people in y'all's circle. They'll begin to share with them. You know, I can't believe it. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but so-and-so went out on me and brought this back to me. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? And that is, they want to discredit you. And they also, watch this, while they won't talk to you, they want to put this lie in the mouths of other people who unknowingly are being used by them as puppets to deepen your wound. Because every time somebody comes to you that you have respect for and they say to you, well, so-and-so told me, it ain't my business, but so-and-so told me that, what's up with that? Now you're having to constantly defend your dignity and your character. And the person that is causing this mess, thank you, Aaron, is nowhere to be found. Janine, thank you, Pastor. God bless you and yours. I appreciate you, Janine. Thank you so much. Nowhere to be found, and that's intentional. And so what is this doing? This is wrecking you emotionally. This is intended to wreck you emotionally. That's the purpose of it. Some of y'all are there now. You've been calling all day, calling all week. They won't answer. They got off the phone, hung the phone up on you like they were angry with you about something you can't even understand. You don't even know what you did. They're accusing you of something, and now you can't catch them. And then a few days later, you start discovering your siblings telling you about so-and-so called and told me you, your friend said, so-and-so told me that you did. You did that? And you're trying to defend yourself. Thank you, Jacqueline. You're trying to defend yourself, but the person you need to talk to is intentionally avoiding you. That's not a mistake. They're not angry. They're calculating. They are manipulating. Ms. J. Triplett, I think I said it right. Thank you so much. Watch this. And then it brings me to number three. They'll accuse you of something that is so far beneath you that it's unbelievable. Number two, they will then drop off of the scene for a week, 2 weeks, a month. And then number three, watch this. And some of y'all have been here. They pop back up. They pop back up. What is going on when a person accuses you of something that is so low, so horrific, they drop out of your life like they want nothing else to do with you, and then all of a sudden, usually around the time when you're kind of getting adjusted to things and you accepting things for what they are, they pop back up. What's going on? Why do they pop back up? If I did what you said I did, why didn't you stay gone? Why do they pop back up? Okay. I'll tell you what I think about it. I'm no therapist. I'm no counselor. Look in my description. You can find better help. Real therapists, real counselors. Number three, they return to cement the trauma. You see, when they accuse you, they put a knife in. God's anointed. Thank you, Bishop. You're helping me recover from a demonic soul tie. Literally, it is hard, but God is keeping me, and you're helping me. Continued blessings and favor to you and First Lady Lisa. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I'm so glad that God has delivered you from that. You're going to be all right. When they accuse you, they put the knife in. Freedom. Freedom rings. Thank you so much. 28 by 20. Hi, can you talk about narcissist mother, please? One of these days I will, because it's a reality. I will talk about it, in fact. Thank you for asking. When they accuse you, they put the knife in. When they ghosted you, watch this, they left you there to bleed out. But when they return, they come to twist that knife in deeper. When a narcissist comes back, my God, never number two. Thank you so much. When you blast the truth, the anger gets unreal. I'm 2.5 years out, 2.5 years out. Thank you for teaching us how to combat the human demons growing. They are growing, and they are very real. When they return, they come to twist that knife in deeper. Now watch this. Stay with me. They return to cement the trauma. See, all the other stuff was just a setup. Now they come in to give you the knockout blow. When they come back, it ain't no time to be celebrating, because they're coming back to give you even a worse pain than they created when they left. The only reason they come back. Listen to what. When a narcissist comes back, okay, here's something the dear heart brought up today, which watch this. This is going to help some of you. And I told her that I would use this. And she said it was fine. I would not use her identity, of course. She said, when this dude came back, okay, he did all of that. He accused her of something, doing something to him when he actually did something to her. He dropped off the scene and ghosted her. And then weeks later, he returns. Watch this. Look what he comes back saying, though. Okay, listen to this now. This is going to help somebody. He comes back saying, I can't believe you did that to me. Watch this. Why don't you apologize to me and we can move on from this? I said, wait, he asked you to apologize to him when he told you a lie and tried to make you believe that you did to him what he actually did to you? And he comes back after weeks of ghosting you and he says, apologize to me so that we can move on from this. She said, yes, sir. And I thought about it. The purpose of this dude asking for an apology. See, and some of you have been there where somebody did you wrong and then come back into your life. And they got it, you know, and say, apologize to me for what you did. The purpose of the apology is to make you identify with a diminished self-view. See, if she had apologized, it would have meant that psychologically, subconsciously, she had bought into the lie that he said, that he tried to make her believe that she was a cheater. So when he comes back and he says apologize, he's trying to make you cement in your mind that you are the lie he told. She refused to do that. And see, the thing about a narcissist, in most cases, they gonna come back. Again, I tell you, this thing is demonic. If you look in the Bible, Matthew 12, 43 through 45 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house to my demon spirits. I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Untold. Thanks, Pastor, for educating us queens. I appreciate you. Thank you. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. So it's a demon spirit to leave out, wander for a while, then come back to check on the house. If it's empty, he'll go back and get seven more demons and come back, and the second round of bondage will be worse than the first. There's some of y'all that these people have ghosted you, and you sitting there trying to run them down. When the reality is, you need to be changing your phone number. They're blocking you, but you need to be blocking them. And you need to find yourself in somebody's counseling. You need to find yourself in some kind of situation where you begin to preoccupy your soul with something healthy so that when they try to come back, there won't be space for them. There won't be space for them. And so now when they get back, when the narcissist decides that he or she is going to come back, if you are unaware, pretty puppy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Watch this. If you're unaware, you will submit and your soul will be recalibrated. If you're not woke, and the narcissist comes back and starts saying stupid stuff like, you know, apologize to me. Just apologize. We can move forward. And you apologizing for something that you did not do. Your soul is being recalibrated in that moment. If you are aware of what's happening, the greatest challenge you will have, if you're like the dear heart I talked to today and you're aware and you're like, I'm not apologizing to you for something like, no, thank you. The greatest challenge you will have to overcome will be that you will struggle with reconciling what they said you did with what you know is true. In other words, you're going to have a struggle with desiring closure. Missy Adams, Pastor Blake's God has sent you for such a time as this. I must have my husband as a client. My Lord, laugh out loud. Thank you so much. Your challenge is going to be to reconcile what you know is true with the lie they told. And watch this. You're going to have this grand desire for closure. You're going to want them to acknowledge that what they said about you was not true, and you're going to struggle. Watch this. You're going to struggle with fighting to explain yourself, and you're going to want them to give you attention enough for you to explain yourself, and they never will. Slim, thank you, Pastor Blake. Your videos are helping me get through breaking away from a demonic covert narcissist who only just wanted to destroy me. Thank you so much. I'll be praying for you. But that's going to be your struggle. You're going to want them to listen to you because you're going to think that you're dealing with a normal person, and I can explain to you this was a misunderstanding. It was never a misunderstanding. This person knew exactly what they were doing, and they created the exact trauma in you they wanted to create. And so when they return, you're going to be wanting to kind of like take advantage of explaining it. Lil Country, all of this is confirmation. And I understand why I am single. It's something about the name of Jesus that makes them uncomfortable. And no doubt about that. And so you're going to have to just, you're going to have to be good with when they try to come back, not giving them access at all. Or if, you know, if you do, which I don't advise, cutting it short. 629, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Blakes, for being a vessel unto our Lord and Savior. Send my love to the First Lady Lisa. I will do that. You're going to have to be cool with, you know, hopefully just giving them no access at all. And if you do, Jamie, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And if you do, you got to be prepared to ask them, are you losing your mind? And I would leave the situation with something like this. You know what happened, and hang the phone up. Always leave them confused. You know what happened. Bam. Now you may have to go talk to your therapist after that, but go talk to your therapist. Don't sit there and let nobody play with your mind. Real talk with Kizzy Rock. I have witnessed countless times how you appreciate $1 like it is $100. We thank you. I appreciate you. That means the world to me. And I do. And sometimes people get upset with me because they don't like me stopping. But, you know, how can somebody be kind to me, be it $100 or be it $1? How can somebody be kind to me when they don't have to be and I not appreciate that? I have to. So I thank you for acknowledging that, because sometimes I feel bad because I can't please everybody. You know, I accept me for who I am, because if I'm not real, I can't, you know. But thank you. It's the world to me. That means the world to me. So listen, I'm going to let y'all go because I've been on here with you 42 minutes. And I just thought that was, That took me back when she told me that this dude said that and tried to run that kind of game. It took me back, and I said to her then, I said, I'm going to have to talk about this. And I knew then that I was going to talk to you all tonight about this, because it was amazing. The blame game is ruthless. And some of you all are dealing with it now. And I hope that you glean something from this. I hope that you glean something from this. Yeah. Now, let me pray for you. Father God, I speak supernatural covering over every one of these and those that will watch the replay of this. Supernatural covering. God, they're demonic forces. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. They're demonic forces that are established against the well-being of your people. Now, Father, I thank you for covering them, every one of them, in the name of Jesus. Every weapon the enemy has raised up against them, I declare and decree now, it will not prosper. It will not prosper. It will not prosper. In Jesus' name, I thank you for the peace of God resting upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I love you all. Listen, don't forget to go by my website right now, rcblakes.com, and sign up for my mailing list. Also, while you're there, go over to live events. I need you all to register. Thank you, Tyra. You are my inspiration. You help a lot. He'll be back, and the sore will not open. Thank you. I'm missing it. 7 years, Pastor, 7 years. Of completion. I know that's right. In Jesus' name. Tashana, that you just told my whole story. In Jamaica, you would save this situation. Lick me fee six. I don't know how to say that. I love that though. I'm going to learn how to talk me some patch in a minute. Let me see. Tranika, it's been the hardest fight of my life. 20 years and I'm okay, only 39. No access is the sure way that they don't suck you in. We share children. Keep me in prayer. Loving the healing journey. Bless you for helping us. Thank you, Trinica. Let me see. A. Ferguson, thank you for your teaching. Both you and Lisa are like spiritual parents. That means the world to us. That means the world to us. Now, as I was saying, I want you all to go to rcblakes.com, go to live events. I want you in my Queenology Cyber. You know, my schedule was disrupted by COVID-19. I was supposed to be going international with the message, so we're taking it cyber. It's just $39 for both days. That's all. You ain't got to get no airplane. You ain't got...
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Did we hear that this morning? Did we really hear that this morning? Wow. That's what I can say. Wow. And guess what? A demonic game a narcissist play. I've seen this. I have actually saw it happen. One day, this guy tells this girl, she said, I saw you earlier. He said, you didn't see me. She said, so I didn't see you with that same outfit. This is girlfriend. The same outfit you have on right now, driving your same car that's parked out there right now. I didn't see you, let's say, at 10 o'clock over on G Street. I didn't see you. He said, no, you got to be crazy. You didn't see me. And got upset with her and got up and walked out, you see. And she looking like, he got to be kidding me. Yeah. I've seen people play games with people's mind like this. This is what is given the definition of a narcissist, a person who has an excessive interest in or admiration of themselves. Narcissists who think the world revolves around them. Yeah. They give 9 traits of a narcissist. Excessive need of admiration. Superficial and exploitative relationships, lack of empathy, identity disturbance, difficulty with attachment and dependency, chronic feelings of emptiness and boredom, vulnerability to life transitions. Do you hear this? Do you hear this? Lack of empathy. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say, they have no empathy for you. And unless you come back and admire them in some way, give them what they are wanting, no ma'am and no sir, it will not work. Yeah. All they're doing is dragging you further to the bottom. And some people stay for so long with these people because they think a break is coming, a change. The only way a break or change come, God have to change their heart. And you can't be there. You can't be there while God is changing their heart. Because as long as you're there, they are not going to allow God to change it. Why? They have a client. They have a client. They have a customer. And I'm not changing when my client is doing what I want them to do. My customer is giving me what I want. Why would I change? Listen at what it says. 9 traits of a narcissist. Excessive need for admiration. They got to have attention some way, somehow. Superficial and exploitative relationships. They'll just go out and just lay with somebody. They will go out and play with a stranger. I'm telling you, and do some devastating sexual things. Exploitive relationships. Superficial. Lack of empathy. Identity disturbance. Difficulty with attachment and dependency. chronic feelings of emptiness and boredom, vulnerability to life transitions. They refuse to change what they want. Let's say, for instance, they like apples. All they want is more and more apples. And you can even tell them, look, you just bought a barrel of apples 2 days ago, and they rotten already. Why would you want to buy more apples? They'll ignore you. And they might wait a while because you said something about it. But a month later, they back buying barrels of apples. No empathy for you. How can you tell if someone is narcissistic? Grand diagnosed sense of self-importance. Lives in a fantasy world that supports their delusions of grandeur. Anybody ever seen a man or a woman, they go back, it's like they in the early 20s or teenage days, when they should be coming down and living a mature adult life. They're living in a fantasy world, and it supports their delusions of grandeur. Needs constant praise and admiration. This is why they live in that fantasy world. Because they need constant praise and admiration. And whatever they got or whatever they're doing, this is what it gets them. Oh, girl, your hair looks so pretty. Oh, girl, that's a bad outfit. And they got something on that they should have had on in their 20s, not when they're 50. They need constant praise and admiration, sense of entitlement. Everything belongs to them. They'll tell you they love you, all kind of stuff, do stuff with you. But a sense of entitlement, everything belongs to me. Explores others without guilt or shame. Frequently demeans, intimidates, bullies, and belittle others. Yeah. This is a narcissist. They call it a personality disorder. Now, it's demonic. I promise you, them demons are living in them. And those are demons that's using them. And if you let go of them, let go. Don't play around. Yeah, don't play around. Do not play around because they are not playing. Your needs won't be fulfilled or recognized. It's important to remember that narcissists aren't looking for partners. They're looking for obedient admirers. Do you hear this? It's important to remember that narcissists aren't looking for partners. They're looking for obedient admirers. Your sole value to the narcissist is as someone who can tell them how great they are to prop up their insatiable ego. Your desires and feelings don't count. Do you hear me? Look at the way the narcissists treat others. If the narcissist lies, manipulates, hurts, and disrespects others, he or she will eventually treat you the same way. Don't fall for the fantasy that you're different and will be spared because you won't. Take off the rose-colored glasses. It's important to see the narcissist in your life for who they really are. Not who you want them to be. Stop making excuses for bad behavior or minimizing the hurt it's causing you. Denial will not make it go away. The reality is that narcissists are very resistant to change. Resistant. They're very resistant to change. So the true question you must ask yourself is whether you can live like this indefinitely. Focus on your own dreams. Yeah. Set healthy boundaries. Yeah. They don't have anything for you. They need an obedient admirer. Yeah. Narcissus is a figure of Greek mythology who was so impossibly handsome that he fell in love with his own image, reflected in a pool of water. Even the lovely nymph Echo could not manage to tempt him from his self-absorption. Absorption. You hear that? That devil come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And these people look for someone that's a loner. They really don't have a lot of friends. The family is not really close. The family can be close, but he or she is somewhat outside of the family, and they don't really let the family know all that is going on. And you've never heard them lie like they can lie. And it'll make you think you crazy. And right there, let me tell you what happened. God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused in the relationship in any kind of way, get out of there. That's the devil. We can pray until we blue in the face. If he or she do not want to change, they're not going to do it, especially when they got a customer. They have a client. They have you doing that for them. Oh, Brother Lewis, I need to do that. Ooh. R.C. Blake, he was talking to a chat room on a YouTube live stream. People click on the super chat and it donates $1 to the host. And one guy streamed about 3 hours and raised $70,000, Brother Lewis said. Yeah. In Greek mythology, words were not myths, but were fallen angels. You hear this? You're sleeping with the enemy. You're getting hooked up with the enemy. And you think he's going to change or she's going to change. No, they're not. It'll get worse before it get better. And if you are not careful, you will lose your mind dealing with a narcissist. Because they have them demons have the gift to make you feel guilty about what you never did. Yeah, they make you think you crazy. You heard him say, the young lady said, he comes and give her a sexual transmitted disease, and he tells her, I can't believe you did this to me. And make her question herself when she knows she haven't been with nobody else but him. And women and men think they can change the narcissist. You'll never change these people. No way, no how. Unless they come to the realization that they are narcissists and they need to change, they're not going to do it. And again, if they got a customer, they have you, a client, you, an obedient admirer. Someone who apologizes to them. You apologize to them for their wrongdoing. Evil is demonic. Get away from that. Yeah. I'm going to this next song, and when we come back, the studio is open, and if you have something you would like to say, please feel free to press that number one today and come in.
Everyone is.
I was supposed to already have it set up, and I did not do it. It's coming.
My work was totally beyond repair. I felt so alone.
you came along, gave me a song to ease the pain and erase the shame. You.
I'm gonna get with Evangelist Robin Lynn Maben and see what we can do with that. But anyway, we thank God this morning for the truth. And we thank God for opening our eyes, because many times people treat you the way that you are. If you're not a thief, then you're not looking for others to steal from you. But if you're a thief and you come to visit me at my house and you bring a purse, everywhere you go in the house, you're going to take that purse. Let me use your bathroom. You're taking the purse to the bathroom. Now, you know me to be the woman of God. You never heard anybody say anything bad about me that I stole from them. Especially, you know, and I've changed since 1993. Nobody told you I stole from them. And what's happening is you're a thief, so you think everybody else is a thief. People treat you the way that they are. If they are a liar, everything they say, they need a co-signer, didn't they? Ask Jane, ask John, everything. Every word they say, they need a co-signer on it. Because they are who they are, and they think everybody is like them. So it's good to hear the truth. It's good to hear things that will wake us up. And men and women. Okay, Sion, I am going, I got her on the list. I am going to do my very best to get to her today. I really am. I've been over the limit. But anyway, I'm going to try my very best to set some time aside and call her this day. But this is the thing. We have got to be the people of God. Another thing, when people tell you how they are, believe that. Don't think, oh, no, they can't be that way. Oh, yes, they are that way. If they told you that's who they are, that's who they are. And most times, demons in people, that head demon will tell you who they are out of their own mouth, but you won't believe it because you're not that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Baloo. I won't talk about that vaccine. I'll do something else if I can. I just got to see what Robin Lynn can do for me. But yeah, so we have to be careful. And let me tell you something. Men and women that seeking God, men and women that want to get it right with God, don't just take up with somebody because they quote a few scriptures. Because the devil know how to use scriptures in the term that you need to hear it. And if you're not really in that word, and really walking according to that word, you're learning the word, be real careful. Because people will wrap you up in the foolishness. And when you know anything, you hurt, you abused, you battered, you beaten. You warned, because they done took you through the storm and lots of rain. And sometimes, guess what? They would take you through, and it's like they done touch your soul. No empathy for it. They know what they did. No empathy for you at all. And definitely no sympathy. What? Before they give in, what are you talking about? See, here you come with something else. You can't say nothing bad about them, to them. You can't tell them nothing about what they've done. If you say anything about what they've done, oh, baby, it's a hurricane. It's a storm. It's a whirlwind coming. Because they need obedient admirers. They need people to admire them. They need people to think more of them than they really are. They are no good. They're liars because they're full of demons. A demonic game is what they're playing with your life. Love won't change it. You can have all the love in the world for them. They never see how much you love them. They don't care if you love them or not. They just need you to admire them. They just need you to talk about what they accomplished, what they got, what they can do. That's all they want to hear. They don't want to hear, you hurt my feelings last night. They do not want to hear anything wrong that they have done. You can't talk about that to them, because if you say something about their wrongdoing, they're going to run. Narcissist. It's got to be admiration and it's got to be inspiration for them, not you. And if you can't give them that, forget it. And they are not changing. It's who they are. I've had women and men that tell me, well, I'm taking them to the pastor and he going to cast them demons out. They're not coming out because he don't want to or she don't want to let them go. They got to come to the conclusion that they need to change. And they may be 70 years old before they decide to change. And you don't need to be on that ride with them because that roller coaster going to get worse. That ride going to get higher and rougher and worse. It's not going to get any better. I've seen people make excuses for them. This one guy told me, she wasn't like that when I first met her. She was like that. She had to reel you in, then she could show you who the real her was. She couldn't show you in the beginning because she wouldn't have been able to marry a man who would take care of her for the rest of her life. She go off and stay for weeks at a time. You don't know where she's at, but she'll call you and say, send me $500. I need $500. And when you say, hold up, where you at? You don't have to worry about that. I just needed some me time. And when I come back, I'm going to be better than I was. I don't want us to keep fighting and this and that line. He sends her the $500 because he don't know where she at and if she's homeless, hungry, or what. Weeks at a time, I said. The next week, she called him back again. Send me $800. I have to pay for this place. Well, where are you? I can't tell you that. I'm trying to heal. He sends the $800. That's another thing. They want you to pay for what they should pay for. They will do things and you pay for it. It's their fault that the bill is there, but you got to pay for that. Look up the word narcissist, please. And under that word, it's going to give you a list of things about these kind of people. And when I tell you it is what it is, you may not want to believe it. You may not like it, but it is what it is. And they're calling it a personality disorder. Involves a pattern of self-centered, arrogant thinking and behavior, a lack of empathy and consideration for other people. But guess what? Those are demons, because who does this kind of thing? The devil. He comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. Look, he will kill your joy. That narcissist, them demons in these people will kill your joy. Steal all of your happiness. Steal your self-esteem, kill it, and destroy your mind. They will have you in a mental institution. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? Play with it now. Play with it. God sent a word. He sent his word to heal us. And while you can, get out of there. Let go. It won't get better. It'll get worse. You're dealing with demons. You're sleeping with the enemy. And some of us know it, you know, but we just going to battle on through it. But you're going to be battling for the rest of your life if you don't end up in the mental institution. We got to be delivered. And that narcissist got to be delivered. But the only way the narcissist is getting delivered is if he or she wants it. And I've said it again. I'll say it again. If you got a customer or a client, he's not doing it or she's not doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Studio open. If there's anyone have something this morning they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in and share with us this morning. It's just, I tell you, it's sad, but it happens. It's sad, but this is the way it goes. And they come to trick you. Come to trick another human being. Get a dog. Pull that on an animal. Get a horse. Pull that on a cow. Don't pull that on another human being because they know the cow won't admire them. The cow won't obey them. The cow won't be all about them. And then they may treat their dog bad when the dog don't praise them or show them some kind of, you know, something. They might beat the dog. I don't know. But they're self-centered people. And they have nothing for you but to gain and to get everything they can. And you talking about using a woman? Ooh, them things would use a woman. And I mean, it go beyond anything you can imagine. Unless you in it. Unless you in there with a narcissist, you know what I'm talking about. Now, if you've never been with one, then you don't know. If you never saw this happening, you don't know. I'm trying to think of the name of the movie with Tyler Perry. It's where the guy, what is his name, Blair Underwood. He got the wife. I think her name is Lisa. And him and the mother got a deal, and she been spending the girl money, trust fund money, and the girl don't know it. And he take her out to dinner with two friends, and on the dance floor, oh my goodness, it's ugly. When he get home, he want to beat her. Then one time, she was trying to sneak and leave him, and he told her, you want to leave me? He was going to throw her out the window. Narcissistic. Yeah, he was sick. Yeah. Beat her up, all kind of stuff. He came home early, and for her birthday, her sister had hired a stripper. And the stripper was in there dancing, and he told him to continue on and all of this. Oh, but she knew he was going to whoop her for that. See, and you stay too long. Don't, when you find this out, do not stay there. Get up out of there. Don't stay there. The minute you recognize, oh, something not right right here, it's time to run for the hills. Yeah. And it will be all right. Brother Lewis, tomorrow, as soon as I'm off today, I'm going to download every one of your songs. And tomorrow I will start to play them because I was intending to do some yesterday, but I got tied up, so I didn't get them done. But today, I give you my word, I am going to get them done. Yeah. So we'll go to one more song of the morning. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your kindness. We'll go to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, if no one have anything they would like to say today, I will pray us out. And we pray that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah.
But not defeated, cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me, it's turning around.
Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is.
God is making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
No reason to doubt.
I know he's working.
I know he's working it out.
And it's turning around.
Turning around.
This is the good news.
And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concern.
And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Sooner or later,
turn in my favor. To slip your hand into the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
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 It's turning around. I can feel it happening.
Just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's turning it around for me, turning it around for me today. And I thank him, I thank him. So we're going to pray out, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I got another part of this I want to share. And in hopes and praying that it would help somebody. Yeah, it would help somebody to get set free Yeah, to be delivered. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. All right, Brother Willie. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. What's going on, Mom?
Not a whole lot. I was supposed to call you yesterday, and I got busy, son.
Okay, I was just going to say, I tried to call you. You know, I got 15 left numbers in here. And now one will end up being the one that start with that 6, I believe, but I ain't going to go into that on here.
Okay.
But, yeah, if whenever you get a text, just shoot me a text or something. I don't, you know, I had to spam people texting me a day, so I had to get them up off there.
Okay, I got you. All right, so I'm going to text you the number, and if you get a chance, just give me a call. But, I said good morning, preacher.
Philip, I said good morning.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, I will text you the right number because I see you like a friend, Arthur. And he don't remove the old numbers out. He keep all the numbers. So when he called the office phone. Then he turn around and call the cell phone, the old cell phone, a couple of them. Then he finally called that one, starting with that 6. I said, okay, then.
That's me. I ain't gonna lie.
So, all right, we'll get it to you today, sir. Today. Matter of fact, first. You came right up first, sir. So, yeah, I'm getting it to you right now. Yes,
okay.
Sir. But I might have a
I'm going to make sure I lock it in. I'm going to lock it in this time. I ain't going to promise you I'm going to delete the other ones, but I'm going to lock that one in at least.
Okay. All right. And that way you know you're calling the right number then.
Right. It's no.
Yes, sir. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Brother Frank, God bless you this morning. God bless you. All right, Sister Jera, I'm coming at you right now. Brother Willie, I'm going to close your mic.
Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Oh, Sister Barbara, God is doing wonderful things. So I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good today.
I just want to say thank you for the lesson and the insight that was brought about in that. It really gave me an open eye vision on why some people act the way they do. I used to say, well, why do this person do this? And why can't, oh my God, at this place, this is unbelievable how they have no empathy. This is so unbelievable, but everything is somebody else's fault. Oh, God. I kept saying, boy, this person just swore. As long as you're giving and letting them have it that way, like Burger King, you're good. But don't switch out the McDonald's for the Big Mac. Uh-uh. No, now you got too much sauce and you got too many patties on one burger. Mm-mm. Boy, oh boy, it's really showing me how not to get involved with certain people. So thanks for the lesson this morning. It was very, very helpful to me. And then you followed it up with the definition. Perfect. So thank you.
Amen.
And
amen.
Have a blessed day.
Yes, you too, Sister Jerry. God bless you. Have a blessed day. I feel like if I lay down today, I probably could sleep until Monday. But I got quite a bit to get done. And I didn't tell you this. They said that I could come and visit my daughter if I wanted to. Isn't that something? I said, no, I'm not doing it.
I think I heard you say she was sitting up with her eyes open. Hallelujah.
Not yet, Sister Jared. Not yet. That I know of, but I'm going in at 11:30 to Zoom with her and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But yesterday they took all the excess tubes out, and they say she no longer have COVID. So they just left the feeding tube and the dialysis. But I was on the Zoom when they was removing everything from her. And sometimes they would put the camera up so I couldn't see exactly, you know, what they was doing, because I really didn't want to see that, you know, if it was gross or anything. But they did enough.
No, it's just a little lot to bear.
Yeah, they did enough.
I just believe God going to help us sitting up by Friday. And
yes.
I heard him say in my prayer, because I was praying. I pray in my sleep, too. I heard him say, she say mama. She don't say mama.
Okay.
I say, thank you, Jesus. So
yes.
He said, eyes open, and she going to say mama.
Okay.
Ooh,
all right.
You,
well, I'm just looking forward to it tomorrow. Yes,
I'm looking forward to getting up between 9 tomorrow, so who knows, when you Zoom with a day, she just might open them big pretty eyes.
Yes, I'm hoping so, Sister Jerry. Yeah, her husband said he was going out there last night. I told him to go ahead because I wasn't going to be able to make it, but I'm having Nikki to make a
pound.
You know,
I think the Zooming is just good, Barbara, for, I'm not saying you're old, but people of our age, I'm 65, people of our age, don't walk into the fire if you don't have to.
Amen, dear. Amen.
I mean, over the phone, why go in there? Now you got to touch it. No, that's just a little much. Give her time to adjust. Keep zooming.
Yeah.
I thank God for Zoom and time. I just thank God for him.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I thank God for it, because we can FaceTime and do what we need to do. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Uh-huh. Because
well, the one thing that she went in there with, she don't have. She went there with COVID. But when she leaves, she won't have it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Well, she went there with COVID and some. She went there with COVID and some other things, Sister Jerry. And when she leaves there, she won't have none of that. Yes,
none
Lord.
Of that. She got to learn how to start taking better care of herself. She's been neglecting herself, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
Jerry,
we'll talk about that later.
Okay. But as far as I know, that's what she does. She takes very good care of herself. And as far as I know,
yeah,
she hadn't been going.
I mean, medically, you know, I do the same thing. I take good care of myself, too. But sometimes I forget to take this pill, and sometimes I forget to take that pill.
Yes, it is. Because I don't think she's doing that either, Sister Jerry, because she has to have certain medications because of the kidney. Yeah, she had a...
Oh, yeah, I'm exactly right. Just the one kidney, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to be all right.
Right.
This,
yeah, it is.
At the end of this year, you're going to be shouting joy.
Oh, yeah.
Look how God don't bless you. That's what God did for me.
Yes.
All right, Sister Bob, I'm going to let you pray us out. Know me, I stay in prayer.
Yes, the Lord. All right. Let me get back.
I love you.
All right, love you too, Sister Jerry. God bless you. Yeah, that's good news right there, Sion. I'm waiting on her to sit completely up. And if she can't talk, if she open her eyes and wave her hand, like, you know, hey, Ma, hey, I'm good right there. Amen goes right there. Yeah, and that girl can sing right there, but I just talked to her about all them runs. Stop all that running in the song and just sing the song and go on. And she would be like, oh, you too much. Yeah. But we thank God this morning and thank him for coming into this weekend. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful unto him. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word today. You sent your word to heal us. And Father, for those that need deliverance, God, I ask this morning in the name of Jesus that, Father, you would deliver your people today. Lord, the enemy has sent demonic different plagues and different things to hold your people back and to keep your people hostage. But Father, I ask today in the name of Jesus that you would send deliverance, that you would send freedom in the name of Jesus. Lord, whom your son set free is free indeed. Help your people to gird up in the loins of their hearts and mind in your word. And God, pray asking you for understanding. Help them to remember you. And if they keep their mind on you, you'll keep them in perfect peace. Help them to delight themselves in you. You will give them the desires of their heart. And today, God, we need you. Our desire should be your word, and we need you. That should be our desire. Not what we want according to the flesh, but God, what's spiritual. We ask that you would do it for us today in the name of Jesus. Bless every family member, every household represented here, every caller, every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast. Move by your spirit this day for your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. And as we depart, bless our going out. Father, bless our coming in and meet the need in our lives today, according to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, you made the heavens and the earth, and there's nothing too hard for you to do. Father, I speak finances into the atmosphere today. I speak it out of my mouth into existence this day for the sake of your people, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We give you glory. We give you all the honor and praise. Again, in Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, September the 9th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm saying bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back today. We thank God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you on our side in spite of us?
Let the